Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 27th. Joining us this morning is California Highway Patrolman.
Thank you.
Paul Kraft. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, normally, you should be down at the Ferndale Fairgrounds.
Right about this time, we
So what are you doing with all your time? You don't have a fair to go to or anything else.
I got lucky. Our evidence officer took vacation, so that puts me in his replacement position.
So you're in charge of all the serious stuff.
Yeah, it's been pretty much full time. It also involves our court officer position, so I'm liaison with the courts for all our arrest reports, anything that has any charges with, even our traffic tickets. Responsible for facilitating.
So you're earning your pay this week, regardless.
Yeah, way more than I did as a PIO.
And you're not being tempted by cotton candy.
Oh my gosh, we actually talked about the fair at the office yesterday. Nah, it's those funnel cakes.
Oh, is that what gets you?
Yeah, that's okay. My weakness. So next year when you see me at my booth, funnel cakes. We'll
bring
get
one
you
by.
Yeah.
All righty, Winston. Why do we say it?
Let's go with slapstick. Why is rough, raucous comedy called slapstick comedy?
Is that puppet shows?
There was a tool shows that they used during when they first started making films where they slapped these two sticks, paddles together.
Right. Yeah, the sound effect thing?
To signify a slap, the sound of a slap. And I believe that transitioned into slapstick comedy because people would laugh at those.
Right. And Punch and Judy, you know, the one had the stick would always be whacking on the other one.
That's correct. My grandfather used to tell me about that.
But I'm wondering, was that, I think that came from the Middle Ages, though.
It's probably from before that, but.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with it for now.
Yeah, no, I like the movie.
Paul got very close to it. It's named for a device used by low comedians on the stage. Two pieces of wood were fastened together loosely so that when wielded as a club, they produce a loud whack. To produce laughter, the comedians would spank each other with this device, which they call a slapstick.
Yeah, that's like 100%, right?
I'd say that's a point.
That's a winner, yeah.
That's one out of...
whatever.
40?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Interesting. So how's life been treating you guys with the tourists?
It's been busy.
Around, I would think, is it normal summer activity levels? Out there on the roads?
No, I don't think there. It's weird because it will come in phases. There are days where you go out and there's nobody on the road. But
like
there
a Tuesday
has,
kind of thing?
Yeah. Leading up to the beginning of the school year, it seemed like there was an abnormal amount of traffic, not necessarily at the roads, but at a lot of our the outdoor recreational areas, the trailheads, and out of state, out of country vehicles,
kind of the gathering places.
Yeah, and that's obviously the thing to do now is to get outdoors and not go to crowded places. But the outdoors become crowded. So, what do you do?
Right. Well, I got something. I don't know how this will play. Right. Okay. We still got the separation. We've still got the restaurants and all that stuff. Right.
Right.
Okay. But there is an opportunity to file for youth sports. It's like, wait a minute, I asked the aces at the county level, what's going on here at the state level, and just got head scratching.
Like, I know there's a desire to move into those things, but
you can't move. You can't go to the restaurant,
right?
Huh?
I don't know.
Maybe it's the county by county thing. Do you guys and gals? Is it a state edict? Boom, and it's across the board, or do you have flexibility for Humboldt County and Del Norte County and Mendocino County based on what the county status is?
It's mostly what our department says. So any policy or memorandum that comes out on what needs to be done department-wide for cleaning, maintaining safety, that goes out across the state. Every officer is responsible for following that. If there's something more strict in a county or city that you work in, we would probably defer to that, something more stringent, not less stringent. But for the most part, we're following the same guidelines that most of the counties, or in particular Humboldt County, is following. So,
what are the surprises?
It's, you know, we've started to, unfortunately, get into a normal cycle with this right now. But you know, our office is still closed. And for me, I don't particularly work the road that often. That's where what I've noticed is how routine it's just become to be sitting there watching out the window waiting for someone to pull up, because we still throughout the day we'll have people come in for get copies of reports, get tickets signed off. We still are offering some services with our VIN verifications. Our school bus resource officer is continuing to test and keep up certifications for bus drivers. That's very important right now. So
even though they may not be driving right now, yeah, they still need the certification.
Exactly. You never know when the school is going to want to start up, so they have to maintain that. So we're maintaining those services, but with a closed office. So
it's more, doing more it in of the a parking personalized lot. Or customized approach.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that note,
I wonder if you get like a little bell or something like that and put that outside so you wouldn't have to. Knowing how disruptive that can be, your productivity level is probably running about 40% if you're having to look up every couple minutes or so.
That's one of the issues, is when you have other tasks and duties that are assigned, so you don't have the normal front office for someone just to walk in and say, "Hey, I'm here for something." You have to kind of maintain a vigilance watching the door. You don't want somebody sitting out there. We want to be able to help and not have somebody waiting any longer than they have to.
Well, I understand as long as you have personnel inside that know what they're doing, you can leave a note on the door and say, "Please give us a call."
And then somebody would be able to respond in a prompt fashion. Yeah, the phone number is listed on the door. If someone doesn't answer when you come up right away, just call in, and our office staff is up front that they can come let you in or let us know so we can come out.
Yeah, as long as you keep senior management away, you're okay.
Speaking of management, before we cut away, I will say our new captain starts next week. We're going to work on bringing him in to introduce him to you.
So you've already got all the foodstuffs in the office there?
Well, I'm sure there'll be type of cookout, barbecue, fish taco lunch for to celebrate the incoming captain, yes.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Paul, looking at some of the different challenges, you said you weren't the PIO this week, that you are the evidence guy.
Yeah. I'm still all things.
Yeah, okay, yes. All things for all people, fine, okay.
Mostly something else.
Send your donations to.
Yeah. This is not a wah, woe is me moment, no. Just saying.
Yeah. What... With evidence, most people, I would suspect, think that if you guys are arresting somebody for speeding, okay, maybe there's a printout of the LIDAR gun. Ooh, nobody's going to break in for that, right?
No, hope not.
But what kinds of evidence do you hold on to that may not, if it's a joint stop, let's say you and the sheriff, I would think, okay, if there's a body in the back, just to go really extreme, you're not going to hold the body. It's going to go somewhere else. If there's drugs in there, it's going to the drug locker, the drug task force locker, things of that nature.
Sometimes.
Yeah, what types of evidence will, let's say, over a year's time, come across and end up in your guys' lockers?
The majority of it actually would probably end up being some type of drug evidence in the small amounts. If it's not a drug sales case, typically... we maintain that evidence in-house. For more of the larger drug sales types of things, those will go over to drug task force, and our agent would come over and take that. Excuse me. We also have other stuff like guns. When we recover guns, you'd be surprised by how many bad guys are out running around with weapons. We seize those, and those are entered into different databases for tracking, looking for trying to recover stolen guns, return them to the proper owners, or have them destroyed by DOJ. And then we've had a number of collisions over the last few years that have involved additional investigation, hit-and-run investigations in particular that involved a serious injury or fatality. We'll have parts and pieces that may have come from that that have been matched up to particular vehicles. So we have a couple of cases that I can just recall.
Like a car part?
Yeah.
Kind of thing?
You'd be surprised. You know, it takes a little bit of digging and work by our investigators, but when you get a particular piece from a car, maybe a piece of the bumper or a light that breaks off, and they're numbered. It may not be a serial number or a serialized way of fitting to a specific car, but you can get it down to the manufacturer, make, and model. And then that can help you narrow down, well, how many of those are registered in this county? Was there any paint transfer, or is there paint on that part? So then you can narrow it down further to a particular color of a make and model of car. So those things can be important.
I've wondered, I mean, you know, the TV shows show one thing, but how large is an evidence locker? I mean, you say locker, and some people think like a gym locker.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking body or car body parts. You know, it could be a warehouse. How the physical, I mean, is it huge?
Yeah.
Is it
medium? We could use a huge evidence locker, but unfortunately, we're in a smaller office. It's a little more older of a building, so our space is limited, but we maximize that as much as we can. And when we're able to purge evidence, whenever there's certain time standards for holding evidence, or any time a case maybe is adjudicated and goes away, we try to immediately purge that evidence to maintain space for what we have. But for the most part, you just need a smaller closet that you can fit into to store stuff. As long as it's labeled, logged in properly, and packaged properly, you could shelve stuff pretty easily and maintain that. And then you go
a bag of something is doesn't take.
Once you've numbered stuff, you can go in a computer and pull up exactly where you stored it at, and it makes it a little easier.
Oh, so it's like a library.
Very much
instead
so.
Instead of having to walking up and down the aisles looking for.
Yeah. What do you call those cards? You go to the index file and.
Oh, man.
I know, right? I saw it in a TV show the other day, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard that talked about in forever. Somebody had to go to a library for research.
Yeah, the library.
Obviously, it was not set in current times.
No, I'm thinking Robert's Rules of Order, and that's definitely not it.
Yeah, I'm sure someone out there is listening, going like, come on, you idiots.
Yeah.
The Dewey Decimal System?
I would think that there's a bit of an art to that, too, because if things start to age, maybe it's not quite as viable if it's been a period of time before that particular situation is rendered and taken care of.
Yeah, and I'm sure every department has this, but I know our department's policy and guidelines on evidence and storage and maintaining of that is pretty big. So it different things are stored in different ways. But for instance, if we have marijuana, if it's in a certain condition where it needs to be ventilated and dried, you don't want to put wet marijuana into a plastic bag and seal it up and have it mildew up and become very nasty. So other drugs as well. The firearms have to be stored in a certain place to maintain their integrity. Those things, everything has its way of being stored, and we make sure that they're done the right way. But we want to maintain that integrity for a case that comes up later. So,
I'm sure there's security components to that.
There
proper
definitely
storage
are.
Also.
Absolutely. Right. It's very strict controls over the evidence. So.
Yeah. All you need to do is find, you know, somebody. One piece missing, and now everything gets brought into question.
Well, I don't do evidence full-time, but I can tell you just watching our full-time evidence guy do his audits, they're pretty regular, and we maintain a strict audit controls on the evidence that's in there, especially with a change of command. You'll have the commander come in, and one of the things you do is go through and make an inventory of the office and inventory of the evidence to have a starting point
even
for
like
his command.
The computers and
all the way down to that.
And desks and things.
Yes, anything that's numbered by the state.
KINS, News Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond, as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Paul, in the past we have shared that you are from the Louisiana area.
Yes.
With the update that we just heard, and I would presume you're familiar with the landmarks that are being referenced.
Yeah, just a little bit. I was up till about 2:30 this morning just watching the local news there, watching their live weather report throughout the night, because my mom and aunts and uncles, cousins, sisters are all there still. So as far as I know, the ones that have checked in are all okay. Mom said she didn't have to climb on the roof last night, so that was good.
That's a reference?
Yeah.
All right, there's only, I think for most of us, if we think of climbing on the roof, there's that one iconic picture of the 64 flood with a family on the roof and then the
yes.
as it's going down the river and the boat coming up and getting yeah. off. But that's a
totally reasonable reference. And possible. Yeah, she's close by to a river and several creeks there that back up. And I know her place where she lives, that it floods pretty heavily in the yard around there and into the houses. So she went to her sister's house, my aunt's house, and they were a little bit higher ground there, but still was pretty bad. I haven't had a chance to talk to her directly. She was going to bed early this morning after surviving the night. So
I know a lot of us out here, you know, everybody knows earthquakes. Oh, my gosh, never, yeah. ever. Okay, fine. Yeah, so this is the poison that they have selected instead of earthquakes. Is it just part of the culture? I mean, I was talking with Tommy, the morning guy on Kika, a little bit, and we're both locals, right? Local kids. Why, you know, first time, okay, got you by surprise. But you stay.
Yeah.
What is that aspect of it that, you know, and you know, if it was on the East Coast with the hurricane surges there, it'd be the same kinds of question. Why do they stay? Is it just that's normal?
That's probably part of it. You get used to it and just the confidence that it's not going to be as bad as what they're making it out to be. I went through a couple as a child in my younger days, and I was talking about this yesterday at work. Like, I was more scared in the first earthquake that I felt here than the hurricanes that I went through back home. I can remember seeing a tornado touch down close to home too and just staring wide-eyed at it, fascinated and like not that concerned. But and with the hurricanes in particular, you know, it's mostly what you end up with is the rain and the winds. But the winds do kick up to a certain level that it does start to scare you. I remember the scariest one that I was in, though. We did go to an interior closet, and I remember having that fear in me that our house is just going to get torn down and we get killed there in the house. It passed pretty quick, but it just, for the most part, like it just seems like the routine, like, okay, here it is, batten up the windows and let's make sure you got some food and water. And
well, hurricane parties?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's the Southern culture and a Southern way of things, I believe. It probably has something to do with it.
Now,
bring it on.
Yeah.
I can talk that way because that's me growing up.
Yeah, so. And it's like tornadoes, too. I mean, you hear the train coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
the sounds, the sound of the wind and the
things
stuff
being
ripped
around
off the house. It's yeah. That's when it starts to get to you. Sure.
Yeah, there's got to be an awesomeness of nature associated with this stuff.
It's pretty fascinating. I do remember being out in high winds with the rain pelting me so hard. It felt like small bullets hitting you. But thinking like, hey, this is cool. It's stupid, but you know, yeah, could have had a branch just come flying through there just as easy. But
right, so it sounds like it must have been teenage years.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, a little more brawn then.
Yeah. Now that you filled in some of those IQ blanks.
Yeah. Now I'm running for the hills.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the cleanup of it afterwards, you know, it's you know, floods. Okay, we get those so infrequently that it's an extraordinary event. Yeah, going through the house looking for snakes and crocodiles. It's like, no.
That was my exact statement yesterday. It was like, the flooding looks doesn't look that bad, except that's how all the snakes and critters get in. So I don't want water coming in my house.
No.
And I'll wrestle a gator, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, as long as it's under a foot and a half.
Wait, a lizard or a gator? Never mind.
Yeah.
More of a lizard.
Gecko? Okay.
Yeah.
Blue
still,
tail?
Still one.
Blue tail even better.
Yeah.
Oh. So it must take quite some time for a community to recover from that. I think I had shared with everybody, I guess, a year and a half ago now in Mississippi and kind of did the Blues Highway thing. And seeing houses in the Yazoo River was up a little bit. They were just like on stilts and people sitting in the on the porch watching the cars go by.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's got to be the norm. It's got to be the culture. I don't know how the wood doesn't rot away underneath in about 2 years.
There's a lot of brick there. Every home, almost every home I grew up in, I believe, was just a brick home. So that helps to preserve a bit of the structure. Now you pull out your carpet and the wood and all that and to replace some drywall. So that does make it a little easier.
But it's just kind of, okay, fine.
Yeah, it's just the way that it is. It's the risk that you take living there, and it's out of your control, really, once it starts to happen. So then it's having the best home you can. Yes.
With engine and
a boat to get away with paddles in case you run out of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder you went to the Coast Guard. You grew up in it. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Paul, I guess another month, another incident, huh? With the stuff in Wisconsin that's going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a concern. There's a fatigue factor. I was talking with Stefan yesterday, and he's back in Lincoln. He's two blocks away, and there was a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. A Lincoln police officer was looking to serve papers. He got shot and killed.
Mm. Okay.
And I guess I think he said that he heard the shots, and then he's driving to his apartment, and all of a sudden there's a stop, and a whole bunch of cars go by, so I kind of do a little digging, and they found the 17-year-old that ran off. He must have kind of been right in the middle of all that stuff. And it's just, it's interesting, one, what gets coverage and what doesn't get coverage, but secondarily, the whole concept that there is police violence, period, end of story.
Yeah.
Do the recruits now at the academy, is there additional training on what not to do, what to look for, all this kind of stuff in the wake of this last couple of years? At least the attention on it for the last couple of years, maybe that's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
Or recognition, not attention. But
yeah, well, and our department has always worked to not just have training, but to continue to develop our training. So over the years, we have incorporated more things that are important as far as community relations and how to respond, how to recognize mental health crises, and take appropriate action with those as opposed to heavy hand of the law action. And that continues to develop over time.
Do you have de-escalation training also? Or
yeah,
is that
we go through that. No, we've always had that training. It's always been part of our training. I can't speak for every department, but a lot of departments do that. I know our department, the Highway Patrol, we have yearly retraining on a multitude of those aspects. It's unfortunate right now that with everything else going on with COVID, our academy is still shut down, and that flip side of that is it's giving an opportunity for instructors there to continue to develop the training once it starts back up. This is hard, very hard time for law enforcement and the communities as well. So know that, you know, we're losing officers, people. There are men and women who don't want to be in law enforcement anymore because of the current climate. It's understandable to a certain degree, but those of us that came into this for the right reasons and do it the right way are sticking around and doing it. We're trying to encourage the same type of people to apply for our department.
I would suspect that there are venues and opportunities for you if somebody starts to, if you kind of feel that somebody's starting to kind of be, not a renegade or a vigilante, but kind of starting to interpret things a little bit differently than what everybody's been trained to.
Right.
That there's a reporting hierarchy and things kind of get at least reviewed, if not addressed.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's a chain of command, and that exists in any department. But the first thing is for me personally as an individual to talk to this person. If I see somebody doing something or acting a certain way that's looks like it's inappropriate, illegal, unsafe, we talk about all that stuff. It's drilled into our applicants as from the very first day. You have to have integrity and you have to be able to stand up and do the right thing at the right time. It's very important. So know that we're out there continuing to work towards that goal and always will.
You're waiting for the ball to come across?
I know the clock's ticking down. I get caught on that last word. So
right.
I appreciate the time this morning.
Oh, good. And now you're learning how to fill. Good. Couple years under your belt, you figure this stuff out. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Hopefully the family's all squared up and okay. See everybody tomorrow.